You are Locked On NBA Draft, your daily podcast on the NBA Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, yo, what up? You are listening to Locked On NBA Draft. This is your host, Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies, where I am reporting live from Miami, Florida, where it's been raining and gloomy all week. I'm so glad that I'm not here on vacation, and it's more so of a work trip, because I'd be disappointed if I spent my hard-earned money with these expensive hotels with these high resort fees to come to Miami and to sit in the rain. But overall, it's been a good experience. I'm here doing some work. I'm here to get some pre-draft content. I've had a chance to watch guys like Bam Adebayo, Christian Wood, Michael Beasley, Kendrick Nunn, DJ Wilson, even James Booknight. I had a chance to watch those guys work out here in Miami, and it's been a good experience. So it's not all doom and gloom, even though the weather has been gloomy. But before I get too deep into this episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Moment segment coming up later in this episode. And in this episode, it will be one of my favorites, something I've done a few times lately, and I enjoy it. It is the mailbag episode. I've been getting a lot of questions. Let me get right to the first question, and it's the news that came out a few hours prior to me recording. And the question is, how does the NCAA's ruling that allows players to get paid impact college basketball and the G League? Right off the top, this is a good question. I haven't really had a lot of time to think about it, but just off the top of my head, I think the impact is big. I think it makes the G League situation, and even with overtime basketball, I think it gives the NCAA an advantage. I also think that it may improve college basketball because guys may stay longer. You look at a guy like, just trying to think off the top of my head, let's just say Luka Garza, for example. He stayed all 4 years. He didn't leave. But think about the type of money that he would have been able to make at Iowa if he could monetize his likeness. He would have made over $1 million, in my opinion, just off of, you know, how long he's been there, the numbers that he's put up. It would not have been a rush for him to leave, but that's a rare case. You don't really see guys like Garza stay that long, but we have seen over the years a lot of guys have left early, and their main motivation to leave early is to make some money, some to support their family, some because they just thought they were NBA prospects. Well, with this new ruling, I can almost assure you that players can make more money playing college basketball than they can in the G League. And even overseas, you know, very few guys are going to make EuroLeague type money coming out. And you have some guys that are leaving early because they just wanted to start their pro career. And they're playing for $3,000 or $4,000 a month, even if they're lucky. Well, you can get that easily in college basketball if you're a star. I mean, if you're, you know, a player at Kentucky or North Carolina or Duke and you are a starter, I'm guessing you can make upwards to $100,000 a year off your likeness, you know, selling, like, I don't know, I guess doing appearances for trading cards. So, yes, I think this is really big. I think it hurts the G League because you can go to the G League and let's say you make $300,000, but you're, I don't want to say off the radar a little bit, but you don't get the same exposure as you would going to a Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, a USC, or a Kansas. So I think it really hurts the G League. And then overtime, I read somewhere, and I could be wrong, but I read somewhere like 6% of the NBA players have invested in overtime. Well, and this overtime is the, I guess it's like this overtime professional basketball league that is supposed to compete with the G League, and they just signed a couple of players, and you know, from all the reports, they're paying them a good chunk of change. But I wonder, you know, if that league survives now, because most kids, and even RJ Hampton talked about it on a previous podcast I had a few weeks ago, but most kids, their desire is to play college basketball. You know, they only know college basketball and NBA, and it's probably not until late in their high school careers are they aware of the other options. So now I just think this is a big swing in momentum for college basketball. So that is a really good question, and I think it can improve college basketball, because we may see guys staying for 2 or 3 years now because they may not have a first-round grade. So really, it doesn't make sense to leave unless you are a guaranteed first-rounder, because you can make, you know, pretty good money depending on what school you go to. So hopefully that answers your question. All right, number two. Who should the Rockets select at number two? And this has been heavily debated on social media. You know, we can assume Cade Cunningham is going number one, even though I have seen some rumors that Detroit may be open to trading the pick. But at number two, I'd say the consensus right now would say Evan Mobley is the number two pick. But I've been seeing that they think maybe Jalen Green is the better fit. This is tough. And I was actually, I had a chance to talk to Steven Silas. He was here in Miami. And I mean, he wasn't going to give me a direct answer, but we just kind of briefly talked about the, you know, the players that are available at number two for Houston. And, man, this is tough because, you know, you look at the NBA and you started to hear rumors or hear comments a couple years ago that you can't build around a big. Well, with DeAndre Ayton on his way to the finals, that may have changed things a little bit. With Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, you know, in MVP conversations, that may have changed things. So I think that helps Evan Mobley, which I don't know if it would have had much of a difference anyway. But I do think that it was kind of premature for people to declare the impact of the big man in today's NBA is dead. Me personally, right now, I would go with Evan Mobley. But I could see them going with Jalen Green also. Now, the Jalen Green-Kevin Porter Jr. combination would be interesting. But you can say the same thing about Evan Mobley and Christian Wood. I think either way, the Rockets are going to get a player that I feel is an all-star level player, maybe even a franchise-changing player. I mean, I think both guys could be, you know, number one options. But as far as, like, changing a franchise and turning the direction around and getting Houston back in the playoffs and being a contender, I think both guys have the upside and are capable of that type of impact. But as of now, as of today, July 1st, 2021, I think Evan Mobley is the better fit and the better choice for the Rockets. Now, it could change. It could, I could lean towards going in another direction. But the key is, I guess, is Kevin Porter Jr. I think he's a ridiculous talent. I think the intel is the only thing that was stopping him from being a top five pick. And just it also depends on what position do you see Porter Jr. as. Do you see him as a primary ball handler and a guy that plays, I guess you can say, the James Harden role, where he's really, well, he defends twos, and you pair him next to a point guard that plays off the ball? Or do you consider him and Jalen Green both as two? So it's going to be a tough situation, but it's a good situation to have. So like I said, as of now, I think that Evan Mobley is the pick at number two for the Houston Rockets. All right, now I want to talk about the Michelob Ultra moment, and this goes to none other than the Phoenix Suns as a whole. It's been a crazy ride for the Suns, and You know, it, like I said, it was just tough for me to pick this week's Ultra Moment. But it's the Phoenix Suns. I mean, they're a team that didn't make the playoffs last year. And here they are headed to the NBA Finals. Chris Paul had a performance that would make you sick to your stomach if you were a Houston Rockets fan. I know if you're a Rockets fan, you felt like 2 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, that they would have beat the Warriors. I mean, they were the only team that I feel like really competed with the Warriors with Kevin Durant. They went to Game 7, and Chris Paul was hurt. Well, he delivered the performance that Houston Rockets fan wished that they were able to get from him. And like I said, the Phoenix Suns are on their way to the NBA playoffs, or NBA Finals. How crazy does that sound? So his performance, along with Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, I'm sure has brought plenty of joy, happiness, and enjoyment to the Valley of the Sun. Robert Sarver, who has been heavily criticized, now has to be feeling like the man. I mean, if you have that type of money, already the man anyway. But go check out tons of other exciting Ultra Moments with the hashtag Ultra Moment. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It is the whole game. All right, right back into the questions from, I guess this is mailbag episode number 3, I believe. Are there any bigs that the Thunder can target with picks 16 and 18? Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I've read the rumors that the Thunder have made a guarantee to Isaiah Jackson with one of their picks. I can't confirm or deny that's the case. I thought it was suspicious that, you know, whatever happened at the combine. But I think that he would be the only guy I feel like that would be available in that range. Maybe Kai Jones could be available. I don't think Alperen Sengun would be available in that range. But I would say Isaiah Jackson is probably the most realistic around pick 16 and 18. I mean, there may be some guys that I think could be a reach, whether it's like Charles Bassey or Nemias Keita. I think, though, that's probably a little bit high for them. And then maybe if you consider Zaire Williams a big, he's 6'10", but he's a wing. So, yeah, I would say that Isaiah Jackson would probably be the most realistic pick at 16 to 18, which, like I said, there are a lot of people that think that he already received a guarantee from the Thunder. All right, next question. Thoughts on James Bouknight? And this is interesting because I've been able to watch Bouknight work out 3 times this week. I saw him Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I was already high on Bouknight. I had him going number 10 on my last mock draft. And I mean, he's looked good. He's a shot creator. He's a high level NBA athlete. And if there was a concern that I had about Bouknight, it was his shot selection, which you can't really see shot selection in a workout unless you're watching him go 5-on-5. But on paper, he shot less than 30% from 3. And he has been shooting the ball extremely well in these workouts. And I know it's 1-on-1. There's no defense there, but the shot looks good. And I mean, he's just shooting at a high clip. It's still early in the summer, and he still has, you know, months of time to put in to improve as a shooter. But there's a couple things that, you know, I won't be able to see in a workout, and that is shot selection. And I know he had a negative assist to turnover ratio. So that's, again, that's something I won't be able to see in a workout. But I'm high on Bouknight. I think that he has the opportunity to be a special scorer. I think that he's I guess based off the measurements, you may consider him a undersized 2 by traditional standards, but I just love his upside as a shot creator. And if he can improve his assist to turnover ratio and become better at catch and shoot opportunities, then I see him as a guy that averages 20 something points per game throughout his NBA career. So I'm high on Bouknight. All right, what is a good fit for Nemias Keita? So he was the last guy I did a video for on my NBA Draft Junkies YouTube channel. I like him a lot. I can't say that I knew a whole lot about his game coming into the season. I mean, I seen the name. I knew he was a shot blocker. But it was late in the year that I really took a deep dive into his film. Excellent shot blocker. High energy guy. I've seen some comparisons to Clint Capela. I know he measured out as the biggest player at the combine. And he has some stuff in his game on offense. I think he's a really underrated passer. Like, he does a good job of reading double teams. I know he was double teamed a lot at Utah State, but I thought that he was one of the best passing bigs in this draft. He's got, you know, a little offensive package, fluidity, moves well. I don't think that he's a guy that you can really, in an NBA setting, I should say, give the ball to him on the block and say go to work. But I think he has enough talent and enough in his bag to where he can exploit mismatches. He finishes with both hands. Although I feel like, even though he does finish with both hands, his left hand is significantly weaker than the right. There are plays where I felt like he had left hand hook shots or left hand jabs that were available. And sometimes he would try to come back to his right. And so made the shot a little bit difficult. I think the main thing for him is improving his range. If he can step out and knock down open jumpers, whether it's just from the short corner or the elbows, then I think that that would help him out on the offensive end. But what's going to be his calling card is his defense. And he is a great chase down shot blocker. Like, that's usually a level that is like LeBron only, where, you know, he chases guys down on fast breaks and he's this intimidator even though he's behind the guy. Cade had a lot of chase down blocks this season, and you normally don't see that out of a big. So one of the things I really, really like about him is his hustle, his effort, and his energy. And I mean, he has the fluidity, I feel, to be able to switch out. And, you know, he doesn't have to be able to, or nobody's going to be able to stop NBA guards. But if he can keep them in front of him for 2 to 3 dribbles, that's going to be the key, because, you know, he has the length to be able to block shots from behind. So I like him a lot. I think he would be someone that you see goes into like the late first round, maybe even early second round, as far as teams that I think would be a good fit. Maybe the Clippers could use some size. Brooklyn could use some size. Those are teams that obviously are picking in the late first round. But I think those would be the best fits for him in the first round. All right, today on Road to the Finals, our NBA playoff coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. All right, this episode is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible, like literally impossible, for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. So why go through the seamlessly just crazy questioning you would get at a local chain store? And why not just go to RockAuto.com? And you can save time and money with RockAuto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, and even 100% more on the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? You know, for example, if you're looking for, you know, I mean, this is Locked On NBA Draft, but I know the Locked On NBA Draft fans got a little bit of money in their pocket. So if you're looking for some new floor mats for your new M5 BMW, they're probably a little bit cheaper on RockAuto.com than they are at the BMW dealership, because Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. I was ready to say serving do-it-yourselfers like myself, but I'm not doing anything when it comes to a car. But Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So please go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they will know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Okay, I am back. You are listening to Rafael Barlow. We're locked on NBA Draft. And I am from NBA Draft Junkies. Check out my website, but also check out the YouTube channel. Got this crazy goal of dropping like 100 prospect videos. It is now July. I have about 29 days to get it done. Ooh, it's going to be a challenge, but that's my goal. All right, next question is, does Jericho Sims get drafted? You know, if you would have asked me this question 2 weeks ago, I would have said no. But he had a strong combine, and he was able to showcase his elite athleticism. He was someone that when I saw him as a freshman at University of Texas, I thought that he was going to be a first-round pick just based off of his athleticism. For whatever reasons, I did not see a lot of growth in his game over the years. And like I said, just 2 weeks ago, I did not think that he was someone that would get drafted. I thought he'd be a guy that would sign a two-way deal immediately and a team would take a flyer on him to develop. But I think that he's played himself into being selected based off of how he played in Chicago. He was able to showcase, you know, his bouncy athleticism, his length. And if he can play with a high motor, I think he can help a team. So, yes, I think that he helped himself. And Texas had three guys who, in my opinion, are the three of the best athletes that you'd ever find on one team, especially in as bigs. And they have an opportunity to have three bigs drafted. They may not have complemented each other well on the floor. Now, don't get me wrong. Texas had a successful season. They may not have ended the way that they had hoped, but they had overall a pretty successful season. And, you know, without their three bigs that, in my opinion, they just didn't complement each other well. But, yeah, it would be interesting to see. But I think Texas can have three guys drafted in this year's draft. So I like Jericho Sims. And, yes, I do believe that he will be drafted. All right, Dacia Nix. And it just has a question mark. So I'm assuming they want my opinion on Nix. Now, Nix is the opposite of Jericho Sims as far as performance at the NBA Combine. I thought he looked slimmer. I thought he looked in a little bit better shape, but I don't think that he really helped himself. And now that I just really think about it, Nix is a guy that this new NCAA ruling probably would have benefited. So if you don't know his story, he committed to UCLA. He ended up playing for the G League Ignite team. And I don't think he got the big money that Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green received. But I'm sure that he probably at least got six figures. Well, there's a chance that he doesn't get drafted now. I'm not saying that it could not have happened if he went to school. But let's say he is entering his freshman season this year. He could have made the same amount of money, played at UCLA, and maybe developed a little bit more, or maybe even stayed for a couple of years, made the same amount of money, and been more prepared or better prepared for the NBA draft. This is just a thought off the top of my head, because UCLA, even though they went to the Final Four, was affected big time by injuries to Chris Smith and then Nix opting to go to the G League after signing a letter of intent. But I think Nix may end up in the G League again. I've seen some comparisons to Andre Miller. He needs to add a little bit more to his offensive game. He's one of the best passers in the draft, but in my opinion, in today's NBA, it doesn't matter how great of a passer or a playmaker you are, you can't really maximize your passing ability if you're not a threat to score. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Nix, because as of now, based off of his performance in Chicago, I think he's going to have to play really, really well in individual workouts to get drafted. All right, the last question, and it is a big question. Has Scottie Barnes passed Jonathan Kuminga on your draft board? As of today, July 1st, No, I still have Kuminga at number 5 and Scottie Barnes at number 6. But I'm starting to see, based off of other draft boards, that after he measured well and he, you know, tested well athletically, that Scottie Barnes could be rising up draft boards. Don't know how far you could rise because, I mean, I think Cunningham, Mobley, and Jalen Green are pretty much locks to go 1, 2, 3. So if he moves up, you know, I think the highest he can go is 4. I'd be really shocked to see if he goes higher than that. I still think he falls to 6. I still think there are some questions about his offensive game, but the versatility, the length, the athleticism, the playmaking skills are something that teams covet. I still have him going to Oklahoma City, but he could pass Kuminga up based off of how well he measured and tested. So that's a pretty good question. But in my opinion, this is just a Rafael Barlow from NBADraftJunkies.com opinion. I still think that he is number 6 behind Cunningham, Mobley, Green, Suggs, and Kuminga. All right, before I wrap it up, I wanted to tell you about this exciting event. Starting on July 19th, we're having the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. It will be featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, and that is Chad Board, if you didn't know, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former NBA general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make the selections and the trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is the home for your sports podcast, music, and the news that matters to you. That is Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. And I can announce now, I've been waiting to, but I can announce that I will be a part of this Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. All right, thank you for listening to Locked On NBA Draft. This is your host, Rafael Barlow. And I am out of here.